With all of the conversations swirling about, gets a bit thick. You're trying to figure out where to indent things like chamber conferences and indicted and now convicted and sentenced former commissioners with the city. And then there is Jeremy Matlow. A lot to talk about, so stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 70 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
It's another fine day here in the neighborhood called Tallahassee, and we thought, you know what, it's not necessarily to his advantage, because I think Jeremy would just soon be hanging out with people who like to make pizza, okay? He's very good at that. But from my humble point of view, this is a guy who came from pretty humble beginnings. If you don't know the backstory, do yourself a favor, because frankly, it's inspiring, and it's a Tallahassee story. This is a guy who grew up living in his mom's car for a while. Anyway, won't drag that any further. But having come through all of that as a kid and into his young adulthood, and then deciding somehow I can do better. And I want to do better. I'll figure that out. Well, he did, and he did it well. And he did it in cooperation with some of his business partners and associates. And he did it in a way that is, again, sort of inspiring. He just knuckled, bare-knuckled, sort of in the mix of it all. Among those accomplishments, something that has benefited yours truly often, Gain Street Pies. And you look at what that has brought, not only in terms of its kind of style and such with the Gain Street area and its expansion around the city, but it's a model of how you can do business in a way that favors the customer and the employees. Talk with the people who work for Gain Street Pies. You're going to find out it's a pretty cool company, and they take good care of their people. Gee, what a concept. So that's Jeremy Matlow. And at some point, in a nutshell, but I think it's fair to say he just got fed up with business as usual. In fact, the business that is unusual for Tallahassee in some respects, whereby just getting a permit to open the business became this, I don't know, torturous sort of ordeal, or very, very bewildering, I guess would be fair. I remember talking with him early on when he had declared his candidacy for the city commission. And these are some of the things that I learned then, and it's a pleasure to have him here with us now, because so much has transpired in this young man's term of office to date. And he has been true to what he originally said he was going to do. He has wanted to bring Tallahassee together as one. That was his sort of campaign slogan, One Tallahassee, as opposed to. Well, so here we have Commissioner Jeremy Matlow with us today. My friend, good to have you here.
It's great to be here. It's been a while, but I'm glad to be back.
You look better. You look better now that you've kind of come through hell and fire and brimstone, and you're pushing forward on a number of issues, we'll say, that I don't consider an agenda. I just have never read you that way. Like somehow you were, you know, you had this all mapped out years ago. I think that you're a guy who kind of takes one day at a time and takes what comes at him and then asks the question, is that fair? Is that legal? Is that honest? Ethical? I mean, is that the way that this city, that any of us, should try to do business? And I guess I want you to talk to me a little bit about motivation. You know, where are you coming from on all this?
Sure. I mean, I think it goes back to why I ran for office in 2018. You know, we were engaging with government. We were listening to our neighborhoods. We were listening to our neighbors. And everybody said, man, every time I go down to City Hall to try to do something, it's like it falls on deaf ears. You know, they're not really listening to everyday people. And, you know, that was one of the reasons I decided to step up. And we said at the time, we need to change this system. There's a system where connected folks with a lot of money are really influencing the decisions at City Hall. And we really need a system that when your neighborhood shows up, when everyday people show up, they're listened to, and that opinion is valued over others. Because when we talk about One Tallahassee, it's the vast majority of our community, I think, agrees in how they want to see, you know, our city behave itself ethically and honestly, and also how they want to see it develop. We talk about investing in Southside neighborhoods a lot, and it's not just the Southside neighborhoods that want to see that investment. It's people across our community that I think share that type of vision. But for so long, the decisions were being made by in favor of certain developers and certain private interests that really had a stranglehold on government. So I was watching one of our old campaign kickoff ads where we said, if we want meaningful change, we're going to have to turn the system upside down. And that was when we ran for office. And we probably had no clue how deep the system really was, you know, at the time. And now we're seeing, you know, guilty verdicts and bribery and corruption charges. And it makes you think, man, that system really needed to be turned upside down, to change. So from the outside looking in, it just seems like this government's ineffective and it's not working for people. But then once you're inside, you really just see this network. It wasn't just one commissioner or a couple elected officials. It was they were working in tandem with hand-appointed staff members. They were working with, you know, lobbyists that were being paid by developers and campaigns and by our government all at the same time. So where was the checks and balances? It just didn't exist. So getting elected, I really, I didn't run for office to be a watchdog, but I found myself everywhere I looked having to let the people know what was happening in their local government.
That is a role that normally we identify as a whistleblower, although if I'm understanding the whole concept of whistleblowing, usually there's a bit of anonymity there or some kind of protection, right? Some kind of insulation. I don't see you getting a whole lot of that. It's striking to me that if you are in fact that whistleblower, and you're not the only one, but here's a guy who has a pizza business. He's a private business owner who steps into this arena and the people say, yes, we want him representing us. This was the will of the voters in majority. And then to see members of this elite, whether they're members of another organization or whatever their role might be, come at you. It seemed bizarre. And, you know, there's been a lot of, just a lot of fury about some of the comments that came out of the Chamber Conference, Greater Tallahassee Chamber of Conference over there at Amelia Island. And here's our you know, Jack Campbell, calling you out, basically. It's like a call to arms. I'm thinking, Jeremy, really? Did he get like a bad slice? I mean, what is wrong with this guy? How did that happen? And even some of the people who I know personally, who aren't necessarily your biggest fans, politically, we'll say, they looked up at that and said, that's just wrong. That is not the right thing to do. Folks, we've got Commissioner Jeremy Matlow. We're going to take a quick break. You don't go anywhere until we finish. We're going to have him with us through the entire show today. A lot to talk about, so stay with me.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic. You know, something clever. But that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs, too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with City Commissioner Hot Seat 3. I guess we should now dub the the position there, Jeremy Matlow. Friend of this show, friend of mine, and friend of many. But, you know, that's kind of how it goes, isn't it? When you're working in the kitchen and there's a lot of heat, you got to decide, you know. Am I going to keep working this, or what's the old saying? If you can't take the heat,
get out of the kitchen.
Yeah. How's it feel from your side? You need some asbestos underwear? I mean, is that the key?
You know, I think we're good. You talked about these attacks coming against us, but when you really break it down, it's from a select, isolated group of people, and it really isn't new. I think it's just more in the public eye.
Yeah.
You know, when I ran for office, you know, they were very critical of my working class background. They used dark money mailers to attack me personally, and it's this same network of people who first thought we just had no chance of winning and that they would just make a mockery of us. And then I think they've seen, as you know, some of their preferred candidates have lost elections and more people who want to represent the will of the people step up and run for office, I think you're really seeing a power structure that's been threatened, and they're lashing out publicly. So I think that's what we saw on Amelia Island. But I mean, you're largely, it's a bit of an echo chamber there, because when you're in Tallahassee, you know, occasionally somebody's like, how does it feel with, you know, these attacks coming at you? 90% of the places I go, people come up to me and say, thank you. They're right. Like, I'm glad you're representing us. I'm glad you're right. There. Right. I think it's unfair. These attacks against you, I'm not really sure what the attacks are, other than I've spoken the truth, and you know, they don't want the truth aired so publicly,
right?
I suppose. So I mean, you just have to take it in stride, because our goal again is to build that government that works for everyone, and then let's not spend years having conversations about what went wrong and fix it. Let's nip it in the bud, fix it now, so we can have the conversations about how we take care of the people of Tallahassee.
And it's striking too that when someone in that public view, I'm thinking of Marianne Lindley. You know, I remember Marianne being on the show when she ran for office, and her opponent at the time was Akinyemi. He came with charts and graphs. I mean, he was prepared to show us how, as a commissioner, he was planning on helping Leon County. She came and sat here, and I said, so what's your plan? And Marianne said, well, I just really want people to get along, and you know, I think I'm really good at that, at encouraging conversation. And I thought to myself, okay, so we're going to hold hands and sing Kumbaya, but what is your strategy? What are your hard line objectives? I don't know that she had any. If she did, she certainly didn't make that available at that moment. Nonetheless, she won the election. So here she comes now, she's out of office, and writes this scathing and sort of bewildering piece. And I thought to myself, again, this small group has pulled from their, what do you want to call it, your offensive coordinator has said, I need you to go in at this moment and make this case. Is that how it felt for you?
Well, first off, I would say, you know, Commissioner Lindley, I think, you know, served our community for quite a while, and, you know, we thank her for her service. But on these specific issues, I think it's how you view public service. I think in her op-ed, she mentioned, you know, certain people of means kind of have an outweighed voice, and that's how the system's supposed to be. And I think I just fundamentally reject that assertion. But also, I mean, you're speaking to, you know, this idea of, you know, how people pick their champion to go out and speak a certain position. And we see that a lot. And obviously, you know, she's worked with the same campaign consultants and lobbyists that got us into hot water, that are
Vancouver Jones.
And they're, you know, texting Scott Maddox the workout deals behind the scenes. You know, they're texting commissioners what to say. And it's like, that's not what government should be. So, I can't speak for anybody's motives or intention of writing those sorts of things, but I think the entire city has followed this trial. They've seen these things play out. They've read text messages. They've seen undercover FBI recordings, and they're thinking, this thing's broken. And to come out and say, no, it's not really broken, you know, we just need to move forward, you know, everything's good again. It's mind-boggling. It's baffling that anybody could be that entrenched into a system and not see the problem.
Yeah, when an airliner goes down, you know, the feds don't just come in and say, oh, gee, and then sweep up the remains. You know, there's an investigation as to why that aircraft failed.
Right.
That's just the way we do things, right?
Yeah,
if the dam breaks, well, then fix the dam. I mean, what's the problem? And what's the engineering behind it that allowed this failure? Seems to me that's where you're coming from.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly it. We take a hard look at all the interconnections that got us here, and we really need to figure out how we give the public the ability to spot and see these things going on. You know, we look to our media to pay attention to them, and, you know, they do what they can. But I think as a government, we have a responsibility to make it easier.
And what is our responsibility? Because that's where I think guys like you, men and women, look at us who are the citizens of and say, where are you? Do you not get this? And to me, that's like growing mushrooms. You've been in the dark for so long and you're so used to this horrible odor that comes from the whole thing. You've decided that that's status quo. And so we all just sort of sit back and figure out, well, you know, I mean, we got Jeremy in there and he'll fix it. Well, come on, that's not how this works. And if you want to grow tomatoes, you're not going to do that in the dark. You got to pull everything out. But look, if I'm invested in growing mushrooms, I'm your enemy. You know, I'm opposing you because you're talking about doing business in a different way.
Yeah, and obviously, the public needs to participate as much as they can. I mean, if people check out and ignore these things, like, it's only going to be worse. You know, we speak of, you know, really a lost decade, a dark decade where political campaigns largely, they didn't have opponents. The campaigns they ran is, here I am smiling in a park, I'm a great person. Yep. We weren't talking about issues that affect people in Tallahassee. We weren't talking about development or road projects very much at all. And that, I think, that the apathy of the voters combined with not really anybody challenging this perception. I think a lot of people, you know, people voted for Commissioner Maddox, and you know, they feel betrayed. They didn't know some of these things were going on, but we didn't have enough people engaged to say, look at the man behind the curtain. That's what's happening here. So I think we're in an exciting time for politics because campaigns have increasingly become about the issues and real tangible things we can do to improve our city. And you can't hide if you're out there just trying to do bad things for personal gain. It's a lot harder to hide when there's a real challenge showing you how much better things can be.
How many times have we seen in our recent history where a football coach, loved and adored, it turns out, man, he was involved in that, or he was involved in the cover-up. That's a painful, painful thing for anybody to have to face, but especially the loyalists, we'll say. And we get blinded, I think, because we can't seem to come to grips with the fact that that person that we had faith in betrayed us. And that's a tough, tough nut to crack.
Yeah, I think people think of, you know, their elected officials, you know, they supported that person. It's like there's this tendency to make a hero or an idol out of an elected right. official. But right. really, I mean, we have to stay focused on what's being accomplished and what's being done. And if you can keep that message front and center, you know, maybe it's not the person with the best personality who's going to represent you the best.
Well,
it's the
thank with the goodness for that, because you know, I wouldn't be sitting here right now. Folks, we're pleased to have Commissioner Jeremy Matlow with us. We'll continue. We've got him for the entire show today, so don't miss any of this. Stay with me.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781. I will try not to sing out of key. Yeah.
Oh, baby, folks, we're back. We're talking with Commissioner Jeremy Matlow. And really, it's a good thing. It's a good topic. You know, I spent 22 years in mental health counseling as a counselor. Every mental health counselor will tell you there's a slogan for every person when they walk in. I want things to change as long as I don't have to change. So it becomes a kind of nice thing to say at a cocktail party. Oh, yes, we need to clean up City Hall, right? Well, let's talk about the processes, the actual mechanics of what that looks like. And I mean, you've been touching on all this stuff for some time. Blueprint, KCCI, the chamber. What needs to actually change?
Everything. When we look at the way, so let's break it down. What's the real impact of this public corruption trial? Yeah, some people did some bad things. They accepted briberies, but who the real victim is the people of Tallahassee. It's the family that still doesn't have a sidewalk for their child to walk to school because that money was given to a private interest instead of investing in the public good. You know, I think of at our last CRTPA meeting, Commissioner Richardson saying, I've been trying to get a crosswalk to keep these kids crossing Orange Avenue at NIM safe forever, and I'm getting aggravated. And that should be the focus of government, but that's been taken away from us. And what people need to understand is this isn't just people misbehaving, it's really impacting their lives. We passed a sales tax, a penny sales tax for Blueprint, $1 billion in the next 20 years, with a B, $1 billion. All of these issues that we talk about, the economic segregation and, you know, these neighborhoods in need, we have the financial resources to do it. We have those resources right now. But what they've created at Blueprint is almost a hybrid shadow entity that doesn't have clear oversight. You know, it's the county oversees it and the city oversees it, but it's its own third entity that doesn't answer to an independent ethics board, that it doesn't have any oversight by our inspector general and doesn't have lobbyist registration. So what we saw happening at Blueprint is really it had become this piggy bank for the well-connected. And the person messaging us that was hired by Blueprint to tell you why Blueprint was doing a good job was the PR lobbyist firm Vancouver Jones. Well, they were also working for the candidates and a lot of the candidates that made up the majority of the elected officials on that board. And then we found through Tallahassee Democrat reporting, developers were paying them also, but they weren't registering to lobby. So we don't even know what they were paying them to do. So you take all of that, what's going on here? And we look at Wilani and the Northeast Gateway. This is a nearly $80 million road project expanding 4,000 acres, all largely owned by a single property owner. You start to see how tight-knit and how this money is being funneled, because typically new development would pay for itself. We wouldn't go spend $80 million on a roadway and then say, come build around it. We are subsidizing this private property owner. We made their property immensely more valuable by bringing it into the urban services area. And again, the expenses, I mean, there are blueprint projects on the list where you see Tharp Street going out west that still doesn't have sidewalks, you know, Orange Avenue, and you see them drop lower and lower and lower as these insider projects raise higher and higher.
In priority.
And it's not even just priority. So Wilani is particularly bad because this sales tax just started getting collected in 2020. So they said, well, we'll put it out for bond. We'll borrow this money. We'll build this road for you in the next, you know, 2 to 3 years. And then the taxpayers can pay not only the cost of the road, but the debt service over the next 20 years. So now you're saying now we have even less money to invest in our community. And it's hard to make change because it doesn't have a traditional structure of government. It has half county, half city, a board that when I got on the board was only meeting four times a year. How can you really direct a billion-dollar agency as a board of directors if you're only meeting four times a year? So we've been able to expand that to six, but really you have, back to the interconnection with staff, at our last blueprint meeting, Commissioner Proctor said, you know, I feel like the staff was lobbying us today. I feel like y'all are trying to push us to one decision rather than let us make a decision. Mm-hmm. And then Christian Dozier followed that up and saying, you know, at the county, we're always good at saying it's going to be the board's decision, but I didn't see this presented in a fair and balanced way. So not only are the board members meeting infrequently, they're set up in this position to where the staff is telling them this is what the right thing to do is a certain thing, rather than asking what their opinion is. Exactly.
Just sign on the dotted line. We'll take care of the rest.
Right. The rubber stamp, you know, that people love to criticize.
Oh, man. So how do we fix that? Well, I mean, what are some of the things or one thing we can do as a community to adjust and amend that?
Well, one thing we have been seeing more of is the community engaging on these issues. So as people show up, I mean, let's be frank. If we look at the Northeast Gateway project and people's involvement with that, it cost Brian DeLoge his election. Mm-hmm. People were engaged in that issue. They saw him support something that wasn't being supported by his constituents, and they voted him out. So I think that's democracy working well. Mm-hmm. But if people don't know these conversations are happening or these issues are happening, right, it's hard for them to hold their elected officials accountable. So I mean, it just goes back to, how do we engage people on the issues that matter to them most and let them know who's supporting them and who's not?
In that respect, when you are approached by somebody who says, I'm thinking of running for office, and you know, Jack actually came into the commission, I guess this last cycle, right? Do you advise them particularly one way or the other? I mean, what's your comment when if I say, hey, I'm thinking of running for city or county office?
I usually have two comments. The first, you know, why do you want to do this? Yeah. And then, I mean, that question, you know, always opens up the soul to what someone's motivation is.
Yeah.
But and the second thing I always say to them is, like, nobody can do it for you. You have to be willing to put your name on the ballot and go out and prove it. So if you're looking to come to somebody who's going to endorse you because you share the ideas, or, you know, help you fundraise because you have similar ideas, at the end of the day, that's not going to work. It has to be a driving force within you as a candidate. And if you have that as a candidate, what a better of elected official you will be.
I wonder, too, how oftentimes it's happened, maybe in this same dark era that you're describing, rather than a candidate coming up from grassroots as you did, they're approached. hey, we really want you to take this position. And I remember, and it was made even painfully recalled recently with Scott Maddox, who decided he was going to be the next superintendent for public schools. And then there's this full page letter of appeal came in the newspaper saying, oh, please, please don't do that. We need you to come back and be a city commissioner. Or stay in that position.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think that was concerning. I think even more concerning is the recent position of the Chamber of Commerce that they intend to recruit and cultivate candidates. What does that mean? What does that mean to anybody hearing that? We want people running for the right reasons. I personally, no matter what the private interest is, I don't want a candidate cultivated by private interest.
Clearly, you and I could use some cultivation, I suppose, but that has nothing to do with public policy. That's more of a personal thing, don't you think? I suppose, yeah. A haircut would be nice. I'm speaking of myself, but folks, joshing around here with our good friend, the friend of this community, Jeremy Matlow. You stay with me. We've got more.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers' spacious showroom. Conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive, or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Commissioner Jeremy Matlow on an occasion when we've decided to give the entire show what is a topic that is, even in 2 hours, hard to encompass. There's just a lot of moving parts, we'd say. But, Commissioner, you've helped us, I think, thus far, helped me better appreciate some of those parts and what it is that a guy like me might be able to do in helping you and helping other administrators and public officials do the, you know, the sausage making, the business of trying to not just clean up a mess, but restructure the way this process works. And you talk about accountability. I remember when, I don't know how long ago, maybe a year ago, and you were asking questions about Reese Code. Just asking questions. And one well-known public, you know, PR kind of person, public relations of, owner, came up and posted this diatribe on Facebook. And it made me laugh out loud because in this rant, he was particularly focused on you and your criticisms of the aforementioned Mr. Goat. And I remember in there was this, maybe it was a closing line that he was looking forward to the pizza boycott. And I'm thinking, really? This is how you deal with somebody who is simply criticizing, not necessarily a person, although a person was included in that, but again, the process. What's wrong with looking at how we do things?
Right, it's funny again when you see these extreme responses to really just basic questions and criticisms. You know, I challenge anyone, and I think they should, particularly with what we know now with public corruption, go back and read my review of Reese Goat. I think you'll find everything in there is completely factual. Read my op-ed based on the interconnections with the chamber. Again, you'll find all of those things are factual. There's no personal snipes, there's no attacks, but sometimes the truth can feel like an attack if you're not behaving the way you should be. So it's been almost 2 years now since I've raised questions with our city manager's leadership. And again, here's a city manager who was appointed by a motion made by Commissioner Scott Maddox. And in text messages, Commissioner Maddox has bragged. He said, "I put into place Reese Good. I put into place Ben Pennegree, the head of Blueprint. Yeah. I put into place Wayne Tedder, and I put into place Rick Fernandez, our former city manager who was ran out of office based on an ethics complaint." And the basis of my criticisms of Mr. Good back then were based on how he handled that. Yeah. He created a report saying nobody else accepted these football tickets. Yeah. And then weeks later, the state ethics board said, well, they actually took multiple tickets. So we're looking at that. Well, multiple tickets is obviously more than $99. Why did you lie in this report? And he said to me, well, you know, well, I didn't have the luxury of having the state ethics report in front of me. And I said, you know, Reese, they asked one of your employees how many football tickets they were given, and that's how they got their answer. Were you unable to ask an employee who works for you this question? Because it's not about saying everybody is bad and corrupt, but if you're going to really be the leader to create a new day, you have to start from a fair and honest place. You have to say, maybe you did go to a football game with Rick Fernandez and you shouldn't have, but we're not going to tolerate any of that anymore. But instead of doing that and really being, I think, the new leader to guide us to a better Tallahassee,
away from the old,
right, he dug his heels in and said, you know, I'm going to continue to protect the status quo. And so I think with the Scott Maddox text messages revealing how familiar Scott Maddox felt about his role in putting this man into place, and then comments made to the FBI saying things like, city managers are like gods because of their ability to go between commissioners and influence public policy. I don't think anybody who's voting for mayors or city commissioners are worrying about the opinions of the city manager. They think their elected officials are running the show, and they should be. Yeah. And they should hold people accountable who are trying to influence things away from popular public opinion.
It is, you know, amazing to me that we all sort of sit back and wonder whether or not any of the things that we are aspiring to as a community can ever really be realized. I remember, and I think I brought this up with you before, sitting at a luncheon, and this woman who was a branch manager at a bank up on the northwest side of town, and just in passing, I said, "So, what do you think of this beautiful new Cascades Park?" She didn't know what I was talking about. She said, "What is that?" And I told her, and she said, "Oh, well, we're just not into what goes on down here. We have our own thing, and we have our soccer fields, and we have our parks and such." That was startling to me, in as much as the, we'll call it the inner circle of all of these folks that are, again, they're sort of elitists, that's all they could talk about, was this celebration of. And it was noteworthy at the time. I remember Betsy Couch came to me. She said, "You know, they didn't even include in their planning a place for kids to play at Cascades Park." So in a sort of last-ditch effort, they managed to do some kind of token installation there. That's symbolic for me because Jeremy Matlow steps up, along with a lot of other people, by the way, but you're the point on the spear, apparently. Congratulations. And says, well, instead of this being an afterthought that we're going to try to accommodate somebody's concerns, let's rewrite the blueprint, no pun intended, but let's replan how we go about it. Now, you've pointed to a couple of, we'll say, strategies, I guess, and processes. What else are we missing?
Yeah, I think what you're speaking to, I think this bigger issue, which is really the status quo right now, is hostile to the public input and public opinion. You know, it's kind of, you know, my way or the highway, I know best. So often we're seeing these projects be proposed, and we're saying we're taking public input, But what we mean by that is we're going out to the public, we're showing them slides of what we're going to do, and we're not really asking for their feedback or changes. And, you know, you mentioned Cascades Park in a children's playground. Wouldn't it be better if idea started as a concept and we ask the public what they would like to see there, and then we formulate the final proposal based on that, rather than trying to shove something down their throats and then have to have our neighborhoods organize, wear red shirts or what have you, come down to City Hall and say, this is not what we want. Oh, why are we here? Why are we elected but to serve the people that live here? But I think, again, it goes back to protecting, you know, private interests. If, you know, your goal at Cascades Park is so you can build a hotel next to it, what does it matter what goes in the park?
Yeah.
But if this is a public park being built where you want to bring your family, you know, maybe you're concerned that there's not enough shade to walk or sit under. And I think we just miss those details by how we operate. But I think, going back to the last point, we need a clean slate of our appointed officials, our city manager, our heads of blueprint, who care about the public input first. But instead, you know, they're part of a system that really pushes private profits ahead of, you know, community interest.
Welfare. Yeah, the welfare of us all. Folks, it's a tough, tough conversation, but it's needed. And I'm glad that you're a part of it. You stay with me. You're attuned with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Supersigns does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Supersigns is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Supersigns is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
You're back. You're talking with Jeremy Matlow, who has made it his mission today to try to help yours truly, humble servant of this show, to figure out what's going on, what's been going on, where are we going, how do we right this ship from being dashed to pieces, and what's of greater concern to me, Jeremy, at this moment is how we get more people, and I mean just everyday folks, plugged into the conversation, especially when our beloved newspaper here locally, the reporting of late, has been rather disappointing. I'm being euphemistic here, but the point is, I think that when we have opportunity to really do this deep dive, and it all comes back to us as a kind of oh well sort of sentiment. Am I missing something?
No, I mean, I think we have duties as voters, but we also have duties as elected officials. So I just take a minute to imagine doing Blueprint differently. Let's not say we're going to pick our insider network, have them form a 20-member committee, and go decide who's private priorities rise to the top, and throw in a couple things, you know, the public will like, just so, you know, they don't get outraged that we're taking all of their money, which is kind of how Blueprint was framed this cycle. But what if you went to different areas of town? What if you went to folks who lived in Killarn and Summerbrook and said, you know, we're going to divide this money and try to spread it out amongst our community? If we spent $20 million in your area, what would you like to see? Well, first, you'll probably get zero votes for a new road through property that doesn't have any development in it, right? But then you hear ideas like, maybe we should have a sports megaplex for our children. Maybe we should improve these facilities. You could get really good ideas. And if you started there and you went and did that type of conversation and then you delivered on what the people asked for, how many more people would be engaged with local politics?
Indeed.
Because when they engage, what they're told, you know, they're met with the cold shoulder. The same reason I ran for office. They didn't care what the small businesses on Gain Street, you know, had to say and how it would affect, you know, their businesses. They, you know, there was a hotel project or something coming along and, you know, they had their marching orders that we need to develop the biggest buildings we can as quick as possible. Who does that really benefit? So it's not about being anti those things. So obviously, I'm a small business owner, so I think we need to make it easier for businesses to do business. I just don't think they should be doing business with our public tax dollars. And if we can engage people in that way, if we could build sidewalks, I drop my son off at Seeley Elementary every morning, and I see the same young girl walking through the grass right across the street, and you know, safe paths to school is supposed to be a priority of sidewalk construction. If that parent sees their sidewalk built for their child, they're more unlikely to go out and vote and tell their friends that government can work for them.
Something is happening that's of value for me and for my children.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, isn't that how
kind of
what we want from our government?
To be? I mean, where did we lose sight of that? You know, I have this sort of philosophical point of view on just about everything, I suppose, and forgive me. But for the last couple of decades, I've looked at this region having agrarian roots and realizing that nothing really ever changed. You know, unlike maybe some other communities throughout the South, Tallahassee went from 75% of the population enslaved in the census of 1860 to another enslaved population in the 40s and 50s growing tobacco over there in Gaston County. And when the tobacco industry collapsed, you had a whole community, population of people that were disenfranchised. Where did they go? Well, a lot of them just ended up in dire poverty that was generational, right? A lot of them went to work for government in some capacity. But what didn't change was what I've dubbed a kind of plantation mindset or mentality that says, and it's the most insidious part of this, that if I'm the plantation owner, I'm the elite, I'm the powerful, I own you and I own the land. And then I come along and say, hey, Jeremy, you know what? You're free, but you have never been given the opportunity to know what freedom really is. You just don't have the manner that is necessary for you to rise up and say, by golly, you know, I'm going to have my own farm, or I'm going to do this or that, whatever it is, or I'm going to stay right here and just keep working. But the notion is the rights and powers and abilities of that individual. It seems to me there's a thread there, because that's what got you to do this. And I mean, that's what moved you past making pizza and being very successful at it and other enterprises, to say, we deserve better.
Right. I think you're really, I mean, you say a lot of this is quite literally the descendants of large landowners.
Yep.
You know, people think about, you know, these big families and sort of things. And, you know, I was a guy running for office. I didn't know who any of these people are.
Right.
You know,
when
you grew up on the south side of Tallahassee, you've never heard a lot of these names.
You're just looking for a sidewalk.
Right. You might have seen it on a park or something or that sort of thing. And
sure.
I remember the first time someone said to me that it was a project that was going to affect a certain property owner. And they said, I don't know any elected official who would ever vote against the, I don't even remember the name, whatever family was. And I'm thinking, like, I will, because I don't know who that is, right? I'm just here to see if this decision makes sense. But I think it really speaks to really the stranglehold historically on local politics and how right now it may be the Chamber of Commerce. And we speak about the Chamber. I really speak about, you know, some of the folks on the top who are really engaging in local government and pulling the strings and not
right.
the individual businesses
right.
and members that are doing networking
right.
and that sort of thing. Because I think, you know, they're largely being used as a shield from an organization that thinks, you know, that government is their playground and their toy. And it's that type of interconnection that caused our largest issues in Tallahassee with economic segregation and the South Side. Why did all of this property down here get zoned where you send your wastewater? Why did it get zoned where you send your trash or you have your junkyards? And all this property up here is where we build nice housing and that sort of thing.
Yeah, you know, and I forgive me because I harp on this, but I really think that we have to address the cultural roots of this mentality as well, and at the same time that we address the ramifications of that. How does it get played out? I mean, you think about the emancipation of African Americans, or think about the equality of women. Take any subcultural grouping and look at the process, what it's taken, and we're still working that. Right? So we're talking about a community that has lived this way under whatever label you want to call it for its life. I mean, going back into the early 1800s, right? I mean, so coastal cotton was the crop. Well, now we make college kids and we make lobbyists. And we have all of these, what I consider just another example of a plantation where the people in charge, they not just are responsible for, they own it. They own the means of production. They own the people who work it. And you're talking about members of a group like the Greater Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce. Well, you talk to the average chamber member, I mean, what do they know? They're there to do some business and connect with people, and those are all good intentions. What they don't necessarily know is that they're not going to get invited to the dance. You know, and I can say as a chamber member, I've been a chamber member since I've been in business. I waited a long time to get invited to the dance. Never happened. So then I decided I'd have my own dance and invite everybody. That's how it works. All right, folks, we've got to take another quick break. We got Jeremy Matlow here. I'm going to try to stop talking and just let Jeremy, because he knows a heck of a lot more than I do. No doubt. All right, folks, stay with me. We got more.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
We're back again with more of this extended conversation. We're taking the entire show today to try to help you and I better decipher, understand, interpret what in the heck has been going on in Tallahassee for, it sounds like, not just a few years, but maybe a couple of decades or better. And we've gone all the way from, you know, the strategies involved with things like Blueprint to local appointed officials, you know, get in line, because there's a lot of that. But you said earlier, Jeremy, you go out and people are like, oh, no, thank you for what you're doing. So the vast majority of us, either we have no opinion, which is a problem in and of itself, but they look at even the simplest aspects of what you're calling for and saying, I think that's a good thing.
Right, and it's not just, you know, a few people. It's a large cross section of our community. It's business owners. It's chamber members. It's former chamber board members. You know, it's people see what's going on. And you know, like you, our business was a member of the chamber. And again, as its role as doing business advocacy and supporting its members, that's what a chamber is supposed to do. I mean, really, sure. It has one interest. Its interest isn't what's best for our community as a whole. Its interest is what's best for its members. And that's not a problem. That's what it should be. We need that one voice of what's good for business.
And there are multiple chambers, we might point out.
There are. There are three.
Capital
and then
City.
NEBA as well, if you count them. So you have all this let us hear what the business community needs. But do we don't need a chamber telling us, you know, what we need to do to solve poverty or what we need to do to fill potholes. It's like, you know, we have a lane and they have a lane. And I think they do a very good job at a lot of the networking events and those sorts of things. But it wasn't really until I was a city commissioner that I saw this executive board and the president really come out and advocate for things, and just thinking, well, that doesn't really support all your members. That supports this one hotel developer, or this action, you know, asking us to do a no bid sale of public land downtown. How is that good for, you know, your business or my business or all of these businesses? Right. Now we're just picking winners or losers rather than saying, you know, let's make permitting easier or let's reduce the time it takes for our businesses to get something accomplished. So I think there's a very real clear need for something like the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
But we can't pretend like the Chamber of Commerce also works in tandem with our local government, and we're going to go to Amelia Island where other people aren't and we're going to do real city business. That's where the line, I think, needs to be drawn, because a lot of the times it's, you know, we have to balance many different viewpoints. You know, we listen to our neighborhoods, we listen to our environmental advocates, and we listen to our business community.
Right.
And as an elected official, I have to be able to balance all of those and make the best decision. But everything, again, is so tilted and interconnected in one section, it's led to bad public policy. And I think that's really how we need to reach people, because where do we go from here? I think things get a lot better. I think people continue to engage the way that they have been. And I think we can right this ship, you know, just because, you know, some people did some things bad in the past, just because some people might have been interconnected into a system. It's like when the system's there, you go with it. But what I'm saying is, this is what the new system should look like.
Yeah.
Who's coming with us? Who wants to do right by Tallahassee?
Yeah, to me, otherwise, you're just rearranging the chairs on the deck of the Titanic. You know, well, we had this little thing come up, and so we've dealt with that, and they did some bad things, and they're going to pay the price and so forth. But basically, we're worthy here. We're seaworthy. And you're saying, no, iceberg up ahead. Oh, man. And it's so, especially when I would ask you the question, aren't there laws already on the books, like, I don't know, sunshine laws, that tell us, Jeremy, you can't have a conversation in private about public business? And I remember, I think that was part of the whole thing with Maddox's testimony or somebody in all of the trial proceedings, where they were sort of whining about those pesky sunshine laws. You know, it was like, wait a minute, that's me. You're talking about what we, the people, should be entitled to know about your dealings. Yeah. How did that all just sort of get overshadowed?
Well, I mean, when you have a system that's so muddy as it is in Tallahassee, it's like there's wrong, there's unethical, and there's illegal. And I'd say we've been deep in all three, right?
Yeah.
But it really took the illegal for people to start paying attention. It was when Commissioner Maddox was indicted. And really, I think the turning point for me was when he signed the statement of fact of the things that were happening.
Yeah.
You know, people were interested in coming to town. Businesses were looking at Tallahassee. And he would intercept them and say, well, you got to pay up. You got to pay. Yeah. You got to pay the piper.
Talk about a gateway,
right?
Yeah.
And
there's
so,
your gateway, folks.
We talk a lot about recruiting businesses.
Welcome to Tallahassee. Sign here.
We talk a lot about recruiting businesses to Tallahassee, are not running off talent, but we just saw that on play. So I mean, that's the illegal aspect of it, and then you get into just things that are unethical and wrong. You know, should a lobbyist be getting paid by a city government to push a project that he's also getting paid by a developer that benefits?
Right.
I think we all can look at that and say that's wrong and not how we want to operate. So, I mean, it's a sliding scale of corruption, but again, it's to me, which is why we, you know, kind of come out in front of this and said, here's six things that the city of Tallahassee can do better. We're not going to stop anybody from breaking the law,
right,
or doing the wrong thing.
Right.
But what I do think we can do is give the people of Tallahassee and the media,
yes,
easier ways to access information where they can spot the wrong
thing. What are those six? Can you take them off for us?
Yes. Well, first would be expanding the definition of a lobbyist. And this one I'm going to elaborate on because it really matters.
Okay.
So many firms in town, if they're a PR firm or, you know, they think that, you know, they just do messaging, that they're not lobbyists, but they're getting paid by private interests to influence government or get funding.
Right. You're,
that's
either
textbook
on the ball
lobbying
field or you're not.
Right. Yeah. So we need to basically say that. If you're getting paid to influence your government, you're a lobbyist, and we need to know.
Okay.
And then we could see some of these red flags, I think, earlier of the interconnection between them.
Okay.
Second would be we need to expand our whistleblower protections. You know, historically, the where to wage a whistleblower complaint was to the city manager's office. And if you don't trust the city manager and you don't trust the commissioners who put him there, what are you going to do? You're going to keep your mouth shut. Mm-hmm. And we just did an ethics audit. And I don't know the number off the top of my head, but the number of people who said if they saw something, they wouldn't say something was pretty concerning. It was about, you know, 25% of people were just like, I'm not going to say anything because I fear retaliation.
Sure.
So how do we expand those protections? We've expanded it to the Inspector General and also to the Independent Ethics Board. That's the only board in Tallahassee that commissioners and the city manager can't influence. And
okay,
they should
take, so that's two of the six. We got four more to go, but we got to take a quick break. Folks, Jeremy Matlow, don't go anywhere because you want to hear the rest of this, and we got a lot more after that. So stay with me, folks. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Seller's Advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Seller's spacious showroom, conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Seller's in Tallahassee. 656-8453.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Jeremy Matlow. Thank you for staying with me, my friend. If you are a bit, like me, sort of befuddled at this point, things are starting to get kind of dizzy, it's because we're on a fast track trying to process not only the history, but the current status, and then thinking about what do we do going forward. Let me give you a metaphor here. Think about, because we're all football fans, aren't we? Sure. Think about the football field where the lines are drawn before the game begins. And the people who put the chalk on the turf are not the people who are the refs. They're not the players. And they're certainly not the owners of the teams. These are people who are coming in to do that job so that everybody on that playing field abides by those same guidelines, we'll call them. When you find that one of the coaches is running out there on the field and trying to alter the position of the line, that's a dead giveaway that there's something not right here. In common parlance now, we talk about moving the goalpost. Well, this is even more, to me, it's even more insidious because it's about trying to either broaden or remove a line or just freaking move it down the field another 5 yards. You can't do that. not if you want to continue to play this game, and not if you want any other teams to show up to play against you. It's just not going to happen. So, Jeremy, one of the things you have called for of late is to say, look, if you want people from around the world, around the country, or even within our community to do business here, I mean, would you want to do business where you have to pass through this gateway and get your checkbook out before you even had a conversation? No. Who would want to do that? So then that furthers this sort of, I don't know, incestuous kind of relationships among local business people and the people that they see get elected to office. Am I overstating this?
I think that's a perfect segue to our third proposal, which is we have to end no-bid contracts. The very purpose of competitive bids in government is to ensure that there's a fair process, there's not favoritism being played. So again, if you're that outside company and you're looking at Tallahassee and you're saying, well, they piggyback that, or they decided they didn't need to bid to sell off that sell that property. Mm. Why would you want to go there and do business? So I mean, this is back to there's nothing illegal about it. There's nothing unethical about it. Frankly, a lot of times there could be nothing wrong with it, but the public doesn't know that. That's why we create the process and put it into place. Indeed. To where anybody can bid. And that procurement process is fair. Something concerning that Commissioner Maddox told the FBI was, you know, he felt like he had ability to influence the RFP process. So we need to look into that and really tighten up our standards.
Okay.
But this is playing out while this FBI trial was in the courthouse, blocks from the city hall. The Chamber of Commerce showed up and said, yes, the city commission should vote to sell off 5 acres in downtown Tallahassee for $8 million. They shouldn't bid it out. They shouldn't take other offers. They should pay 6% to a realtor that brought it to us, even though it was never put on the market. And they said, yes, this is good public policy. And I reject that. That was 5 acres sold for $8 million. And 2 weeks ago, they did the same thing with another parcel on Gaines Street. 1 acre sold for $4 million.
Wow.
Now, get your calculator out. What's the price per acre? And how valuable is 2 complete city blocks in downtown Tallahassee? What is somebody willing to pay for that? We'll never know because we never bid it out. So one of our recommendations is we end no bid contracts completely. Mm. And if we do sell public property, mm, it takes 2 public hearings. So anybody out there would have an opportunity to know it was coming, make another offer. So
the abundance of caution. Yeah,
exactly. And, you know, I always support, look, your elected officials are elected to do the right thing and use their best judgment to make decisions, and always support, you know, the commission's power to do what it thinks is best in the interest of our city. But what's best in the interest of our city right now is having practices that people can trust.
Okay. Number four.
Number four is an easy one. If you've ever been convicted of honest services fraud, you can never lobby in the city of Tallahassee.
That's pretty clear.
Ever again, right?
Okay, because simple.
Just because you got to jail, you can't come back and influence the process.
Just open
later.
The book, look down the page, done. Okay, next, number five.
And a tie in that, really what's been exposed at trial is, we talk about this network, we need a complete audit of everything Scott Maddox touched, what was alluded to. You know, there's multiple city vendors that still have contracts that were known to be paying bribes based on the information we have. We need to really, you know, open up the public records, see what happened here. And it's not saying
there's,
you know,
no presumption
everybody's
there.
Bad no. or anything. It's no. saying it, that
you
one looks a little off. Let's rebid it.
That's for the person who says, I'd like to bid on that process. And you're saying, okay, well, let's do the audit so that you know going forward, you're going to get a fair shake.
Right, exactly. And, and I mean, I remember there was a an insurance bid, and the top-ranked firm showed up. And in his public comment, he said, I believe Scott Maddox is going to influence this commission to reject my top-ranked bid and give it to his friend, because that's exactly what happened last time. And ballsy move at the time. He was widely shunned at the time. But looking at that in retrospect, you're like, man, here's a guy just trying to do the honest thing and put in an honest bid, and feels like, you know, he was taken advantage of, or the rules were broken. Yes. to not give him the contract. So we need to look at everything that happened here. The public needs to know, and that's the only way we can really move forward, is once you got to air your dirty laundry and know what happened before you can fix it.
Yeah. And then number six.
Number six is we talk a lot about, you know, these unregistered lobbyists and what's happening and how they're influencing. And the question is always like, well, how can you really hold somebody accountable? You can find the lobbyists, but it's very hard to prove a lot of the times. So we said, what if you're the vendor, if you're the person who stands to gain from a city policy, and you're paying somebody and that person doesn't register, then you're automatically disqualified from getting any city contracts. You're automatically disqualified from getting the land deal. So now there's real skin in the game. You're a property, you're a company, you hired a lobbyist, you're looking at your RFP and saying, it says you need to go register. Are you registered? There's another step
of accountability. So this would be the Gary Yordan clause. Is that the point?
I would wager half of the PR firms in town have engaged in lobbying. So
we're picking on Gary here, but he was the one person who was willing to stand up and say, no, I never did declare or register that way. Okay, so we've got six very pithy, sort of not easy to accomplish necessarily, points of contact here, points of process. Then comes the implementation. Well, let's assume for the moment that everybody says, you know what, Jeremy, you're right. We sign off on all those ideas. Mm-hmm. Then what do we do?
Right. So, first step is all of these ideas are, we have put up a website, blueskytallahassee.com.
Okay.
We actually solicited these ideas from the Independent Ethics Board and other groups, and we're going to have a town hall to discuss them on October 6th.
Excellent. We're going to talk at length about Blue Sky Tallahassee. We're going to come back after this quick break. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks, listening to our good friend, Commissioner Jeremy Matlow, and I appreciate it.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Supersigns. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Supersigns is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Supersigns. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Well, here we are in the last segment of this rather informative and, for me, sort of numbing 2 hours of trying to better understand where we are, Commissioner Jeremy Matlow being so generous with his time and his thought. I just wonder too if for you there is any sort of redemption here. Is there a kind of satisfaction? I mean, you know, when you're running a business, you create the product, you sell the product, the customer's happy, you made profit, hopefully. You paid all of your employees and your expenses, end of day, you know, now we go on. But this doesn't feel like it has any closure, does it?
Well, I think we're in the first quarter. You know, we're just getting started, right? I mean, I think, you know, years ago we were telling people that Blueprint was a sham, that it needed more engagement.
Accountability. Uh-huh.
And now people are reading exactly what happened and they're going, man, he tried to tell us that a few years ago. You know, they're learning these things about the city manager. Like, oh, he tried to tell us that. Even after the chamber op-ed, you know, some people did say, you know, I thought you came off rather strong. And then the chamber came out with a censure, we were like, whoa. And I went back and read what you wrote, and I was like, yeah, it's actually pretty reasonable, right? So there's vindication there. But I mean, look, I've really transitioned my entire life. You know, this is a huge part of what I do as a part, you know, apart from my family and my business. And there is no personal gain from it other than the fact that I truly believe that we can change Tallahassee for the better. So have we been able to do that yet? No, but I mean, that's my North Star, right? When we get there and I can show up to a city commission meeting and I can think, man, how transparent was that? How engaged with the community mm-hmm. was that? And I do serve on boards. I serve on the on COCA mm-hmm. and I go to those meetings and I just hear the long deliberations of why we make decisions and the justification for it and why we make hard choices. And you when you see it, you just know, like, this is just upright and honest. Mm-hmm. And I think when I feel like our Tallahassee government or intergovernmental agencies get there, we'll know it and we'll be a better community because of it.
You know, there have been a few standout, you want to call them whistleblowers, I call them watchdogs, people like Erwin Jackson. Interestingly, you and Erwin are probably on other, you know, opposite sides of the universe when it comes to, let's say, political leanings and such, but yet you have in common this idea.
Yeah, and anytime you challenge power, especially if it's for
money,
for yeah, I mean their
position,
money or their position
control.
But I mean, if and you're advocating for justice, historically you're always attacked, and
yeah.
And I agree with you, Dr. Jackson, and I don't see eye to eye on a lot of big picture politics. But I mean, when he was, I mean, I think he showed that. It's funny. 2 years ago, I wrote an op-ed that said Blueprint needs your involvement. And I tried to lay out some of the underlying issues that I saw,
yeah.
and I didn't get much of a response. So sometimes it takes the theatrics
Indeed.
To capture the public's consciousness to see
right.
That
right.
it's happening. So, you know, what Erwin was able to do was really to keep it in the public sphere. And it seems like he was probably successful in attracting the U.S. attorneys and the FBI to actually look into it. You know, we'll never know for sure. But so I think he deserves a lot of credit for showing up again and again. You know, being called a liar, being called the gadfly,
yeah.
and those sorts of things. And, you know, sometimes you'll be called those because you are being theatrical,
right.
but that doesn't mean your underlying message isn't true. So I think he found some vindication in the verdict.
You know, I'll tell you one of the telltale things for me early on in your experience as a commissioner was the fact that the people who I would have thought were more aligned with you in terms of political points of view became some of your sharpest critics. I was like, well, wait a minute, isn't he like one of you? Isn't he part of your? No, because it's not about politics at that point, is it?
Right. I mean, so much of local politics has just been, again, about, you know, those interests and your personal interests.
Yeah.
You know, we were looking, you know, chamber board members get $15 million in city contracts. It's like, come on, let's just talk about what matters to people. And it's really not, they're nonpartisan racists. So, I mean, there's so much camaraderie or common vision, I think, amongst both parties of how we can invest in our city and really grow our city. You know, like, environmental issues don't belong to one party. You know, transportation issues don't belong to
sure.
one party. Traffic crime, none of these
sure.
belong to one party. So yeah, I mean, I've been criticized by Republicans and Democrats alike, and
yeah.
I enjoy support from Republicans and Democrats alike.
Congratulations. Yeah, and you've taken it upon yourself to create this Blue Sky Tallahassee. We touched on it earlier. This is probably the first in many such efforts from your side. Tell us a little bit more about what we can expect there.
Sure. So we didn't want to come out and just say, this is what we want to do. So the first thing we did was we had a public meeting at the public library, invited people out, give us ideas, and we collected a bunch, and we came up with the six that we spoke about
yes.
Earlier. And now we're taking it to a second step to where we're going to present the six that we have at a public forum, explain them, let people ask questions, let people recommend changes or other solutions, because our goal here is not just to reform the ethical issues in Tallahassee, but show that there's probably a better and different way to govern,
yeah.
which is let's start at ideas,
yeah.
not a week before a city commission meeting,
right.
but just in a public forum, in a public conversation, and let the public help us whittle them down and make them better and stronger. And so after that forum, you know, we then intend to take those ideas directly to the
yes.
city commission after the
yes.
public has had a chance to engage with us.
And
beforehand.
That's a virtual forum, isn't it? So they can go to the website blueskytallahassee.com. And I've done this. There's an RSVP button. You click on that. You put in your name, a phone number, and an email address. And now they know, okay, you're going to be with us on this forum. So that means I can log in at some point during the forum and be a part of what's going on. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So it'll be 6 p.m. On October the 6th. If you RSVP on the website, a few days prior, you'll get a link to the Zoom. It'll also be streamed live on Facebook. But if you want to participate and ask questions, you'll have to log into
yeah.
the Zoom, and there'll be a chat. And you know, we'll have a moderator, and you'll be – I mean, it'll be – just like a traditional public forum, you know, any ideas, any suggestions, any comments, it's just really an opportunity for
open door.
People of Tallahassee
yeah.
to help shape this policy.
I love it. It's called blueskytallahassee.com. Be sure to do that, my friends, and I will commit our radio station to carrying that as well. We'll figure out the technical parts of that, but it would be great if folks don't have access to internet, if they can listen in to the station and they can be a part of it that way, wherever they may be. Folks, this has brought us front and center with all of these topics at hand. It's not the end of this conversation, but this was a much needed airing of all that has been going on in the last several months, really, and beyond. Jeremy Matlow, our good friend, thank you, Commissioner. We look forward to seeing more and more good things coming from your desk, and thanks for looking out for us.
Thank you, and thanks for having me.
All right, folks, that's what we do here. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny is the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat Radio, Tallahassee's radio to the world, bringing you the sound of Tallahassee, all local musicians playing their original songs all the time. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best, like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.